All right, ladies, I think it's time to break free from all this weight and diet culture, all the stress, not knowing what to do, what not to do. How do you, you know, am I overtraining? Am I undertraining? Am I overfueling, underfueling? Listen, the true freedom around, you know, food and exercise and all of that kind of stuff. I think you're going to find this episode quite intriguing when it comes to that. I spoke to Allison Yamamoto today, and she was amazing and a true expert in her field. So if you are a woman that is like trying to figure all of this out, this is the episode for you. I think you're truly going to enjoy this. What's up, y'all? Okay, ladies, get ready to break free from that weight and diet culture and the whole body stress and all that. I got something for y'all, okay? I want you to welcome Allison to the show. Now, she's the founder and CEO of, and I hope I say this right, is it Ally? Is that how you say it?
Ally.
Ally, there we go. She's on a mission to help women ditch overeating and underfueling, and that's like me all day, and find true freedom around food and exercise. And with her holistic approach covering nutrition and movement and mindset shifts, all of that, Allison empowers women to feel strong and confident at home, in their own bodies, with their own mind. Allison, welcome to the show. It's good to have you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to dive into this conversation.
I'm excited too. I love having really good human beings here, and especially people who are really pouring into the lives of others. And that's you, Allison. So let's start off by knowing you a little bit more. Who are you? Who are you, chica? Who are you?
Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, so you definitely captured one aspect of me, which is that I'm super passionate about this space in women's health and just seeing the prominence of diet culture and how that impacts how we show up with exercise and nutrition. And that can actually lead to other health issues for women is an issue that I've seen and am extremely passionate about, motivated by my own story and relationship with and history with my hormonal health and my metabolic health in those regards. But outside of that, I would say that I live in New York City. I love to be outside. I'm very much someone that likes to be running or cycling or just exploring new places and national parks. And I also will identify very openly as a perfectionist, a recovering perfectionist, someone who sets really high standards for myself and can have like a loud inner critic. But I think that that is something that can be a huge factor of who I am, in the sense that it's motivated me in certain ways in my journey. And it's also led to a lot of growth over time and understanding myself and how I show up in different areas of my life. So that's definitely something else that I like to throw in there.
I love that. And, you know, I do want to touch on some things though, because you talked about important things that all of us or a lot of us women go through, right? And I want to talk about your journey with that metabolic health and the hormonal health, because that's the stage of life I'm in. I'm 52, right? So I'm like perimenopause, and you know, it's a hot mess right now. And I have really, it's really been on my mind though, like, do I want to go down the, you know, hormonal replacement route, or do I want to just naturally do this natural? I mean, like, I'm really struggling with this decision because, you know, you talk to so many different people and have so many different things, feedback, you know? And honestly, Allison, they've made it more complicated, I think, than it needs to be. And that's why I like people like you who are really doing this thing, because you've been there, done that, and now you're helping others, as opposed to somebody telling me what I should do and they just flippantly think it's just the way they think it's the right way. So tell us about your journey. I really want to know about that a little bit more so I can dig in there, if you don't mind.
Of course. Yeah. And it's really relevant to what motivated me into the work that I'm doing today. So I'm more than happy to share, which is that I am somebody who's always been quite active, actually. And I have always loved participating in some sort of sport. So I was actually a cheerleader in high school. I continued to do that in college. And then as of more recently, and after I graduated, I ended up getting really into running and ended up doing, you know, the half marathons, the marathons. And throughout this entire time, I also was really passionate and interested in health. And so I would take my nutrition really seriously. I was aiming to eat really clean, and there's a lot of information, no shortage of information still about what you should and should not do when it comes to eating. And so I ended up following down this path where I was trying to abide by a lot of the recommendations that are out there and feeling like I was doing my best to eat really clean. And in some ways that was actually quite stressful. And I felt that there was a level of rigidity within my routine when it came to both the exercise and training that I was doing, as well as the way that I was navigating nutrition. And to your point on overcomplicating things, I think that that is such a good and excellent insight, because during that period of time, I was experiencing a lot of random issues that I had either ignored and dismissed as something that was just a part of who I was, or just completely normal or not bad enough to do anything about it. Or there were yellow or red flags, for example, with my hormones, where my period was irregular and then it became absent altogether. And so it was an experience of amenorrhea. And that was something that I was getting conflicting information about from healthcare providers. It was confusing to me if that was an issue or if it's normal because I was exercising a lot, or if it even matters because I wasn't really actively trying to get pregnant at that time. And that is, you know, a lot of the confusion that I experienced for years that delayed my prioritization of fixing some of the more underlying factors that were contributing to that. And I think that that's where the complexity piece comes in, which is just there were areas that I was probably trying to over-optimize my own regimen, especially when it came to nutrition and even fitness, and was missing the mark on some really foundational elements that I think is really common, especially for women, because we don't see how generalized diet advice isn't often even based on studies that were done on women. And so it's easy to fall into these patterns that we don't realize are actually the underlying contributing factors to some of these other symptoms that we're experiencing. And the one that I bring up is hormonal, but there were a lot of other, you know, issues that I was experiencing, everything from my mood and experiencing low mood or irritability all the way through to the way that I was feeling in my fitness and not really feeling like I was making as much fitness gains and even my energy levels. So how I was feeling with my energy, how I was feeling like quite cold really often and easily, and a lot of these other like little minor things that all together I didn't attribute and connect the dots that, oh, that's all actually attributed to the same thing. And that maybe I have actually gone too far in terms of trying to optimize my nutrition and fitness, and that could actually be problematic versus what I had always thought was, oh, I'm getting praised by people for my discipline. And I feel like I'm so diligent about my nutrition and fitness that I never really had considered that that could be the underlying issue.
Isn't that interesting? Because you're right. You don't really consider that, do you? I mean, you're saying I have optimal, you know, physical fitness, I have optimal nutrition. Like, what do you mean? And that's true. And I'm on the opposite end of that. I've worked so much that I've taken my health to the, as the last thing I worry about. Right. Mm-hmm. And so through the years that's done damage to my body, where I have autoimmune conditions and all this other stuff going on because of it. Right. Mm-hmm. Also addictions, Allison, like addiction to sugar, addiction to carbs. Like that's a big thing in my life. Right. So it's something that I'm constantly feeling like it's a battle for me. And I think it's because of something that I read when I was reading your bio was the underfueling. I am big on underfueling. I won't eat at all. And that's fine with me, you know? And then I'll have maybe a meal at dinner because my husband comes home from work and we'll sit down and have dinner together. But I literally can eat nothing all day and be fine, you know? And I can do that for days. I've done fasting for 4 days without it being really much of an issue, right? And so I get conflicting things about that, right? Like, oh, fasting is good because it helps you, you know, release toxins and blah, blah, blah from your body. Oh, no, toxins not good. Fasting's not good because, girl, I just don't know where to go. You know what I mean? Like, goodness gracious. Because I try that some of the things like maybe my doctor will recommend, or I'll try something maybe my naturopath will recommend, or, you know, things like that. And I'll be okay for like the beginning, and then I hit walls. And so then I get confused with which one is the right thing to do, right, Allison? So tell me about where you finally said, okay, something's wrong here, right? Because you talked about the hormonal issues, but that there's other things. Because if you're optimizing your health and optimizing your eating, which you are, like I said, on the opposite end of me, where I'm not doing that, and I'm hoping to do that, be honest. I do want to live the second part of my life better than I've lived my first, you know, with less stress, healthier, just feeling better, you know? So tell me about that first step, or, you know, what you knew to look for. You know, maybe the woman listening right now needs to know, she maybe feels like me, like, what the heck, where do I go? What do I do? Right. Mm-hmm. So let's start there.
Yeah. And I think that you bring up such a good point, which is that it's so individualized and how we're each relating to food and nutrition and also exercise and health in general mm-hmm. is something that is so much rooted in your own individual journey. And I think that that's something that I found in practice as well, working with other folks, is that the most effective changes and protocols that we can implement are the ones that are actually addressing a more comprehensive view. Mm-hmm. And so just thinking about it in terms of, okay, let's make this one change to your diet, is really hard to do in isolation when we're not thinking about, okay, well, how does somebody feel about making that change? And what were the reasons and the drivers for them to do what they were doing before? And I think that because food can be, especially for women and in with diet culture, with body standard pressures, it can be like a very kind of complex. There can be complexity under the surface in terms of how we're making the decisions that we are, that are conscious or not. Mm-hmm. It can be a really rewarding part of the journey as well. But I think that for me, and I see this in fairly a lot of other people, and perhaps you resonate with this as well, which is sometimes we get to the point where, you know, there's a long period of time where we can sustain with a hunch that something is off.
Yeah.
And it's really easy, I think, for women especially, but people in general, to gaslight themselves into being like, well, I don't really have to prioritize this right now. Or, oh, okay, well, I'm not getting really bad feedback that this is like an absolutely urgent issue right now. And then we can kind of create those excuses, whatever they are, and then continue to procrastinate on making
100%. Yeah.
And I think that for me, it took a compelling event. And I think that happens for a lot of people, is to take that compelling event to be able to say, oh, wait, I shouldn't be deprioritizing this anymore. This is real. And it's tangible, and now I have to prioritize it. And that could be anything from, you know, what I've seen in a lot of clients is that issues that arise from these types of situations where you might be overtraining or you might be underfueling is something like a stress fracture or some sort of injury. And that's a really compelling event where you get to the point where, oh, I was actually relying on, you know, maybe I was relying on exercise in order to feel like that was my stress management. And it was really like, you know, the cornerstone of my mental health. And then to get into the place where you're injured can be a very upsetting situation, but it also doesn't have to get to that point to actually validate yourself into believing that this is something worth prioritizing. And partly for me, what that, I mean, quote, compelling event was really starting to understand and gain a lot of awareness about what the health risks were for myself. And the health risks that I had to face were really eye-opening, considering that I was so interested in my health that it was a tactic that helped me realize, oh, okay, it's not just about getting a period. It's not just about fertility. This is actually about my hormonal health. And my hormonal health has a lot of other implications about how I feel, about my cognition, about how I am building up my bone health that could be impacting me for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty much the eye-opening event for me. But I think that, you know, I was somebody who, I'm really grateful that I didn't have to hit like a true rock bottom. And even though it was like it was a hard time. It was difficult for me to come to that realization. And it took a lot of courage to decide to do something different when I felt really safe in the patterns that I had already been continuing to maintain. I think that if I'm talking to other people that are thinking about making that first step, really it is about looking inward, tuning into any of those signs or those signals. Like, what is it that is making you even think about wanting a change? And I actually was listening to this really interesting, I may be going slightly off topic now, but I was really listening to this interesting study that someone had done about people's propensity to make change, and how the default and the easier thing to do is always to not change. And so if there's even an inkling of you that's starting to think about making a change, that likely that is a sign you should just make the change, and that that is the outcome for you, because you're the easier thing to do is to always stay.
Yeah.
So I think that that really kind of inspires this perspective that I'd have about tuning in and then really just committing, which is sometimes the hardest part.
Yeah, that is 100% true, right? That it is the hardest part, because it is true. Your brain is already wired a certain way. So to start rewiring, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes accountability, it takes a lot of those things, right? So talk to me about what you do with your clients now, right? Because you've taken your experiences and, you know, you really didn't dive too deep into like what changes you made. Did you start taking hormones? Did you do this? Did you do that? So mm-hmm. I'm just curious about that, and curious about what the woman who's listening right now. I have a lot of women who listen to the show. I think it's like 60 or 65% of my audience is women. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are entrepreneurs and CEOs and leaders and stuff like that. So I know that stress plays a big part in that. I also know that, you know, they're go-getters and stuff. And sometimes we prioritize the career or the business before I know I have. So talk to me about what that looks like. You know, what is it that you do with your clients? How do you work with them? Like, talk to me about that.
Yeah. And that very much resonates, because at the time that I was experiencing this, I was also very busy. And it's ironic, because I was, you know, prioritizing my health in the sense that I cared about it, but I put it in air quotes, because at the same time, it wasn't the majority of what I was putting my energy into. And so in many ways, it was easier to not make any changes from what I was doing, find something that would work, and then to just sort of go on autopilot and to believe this, I'm locked into this routine. I'm not even going to think about making any changes. And that was, you know, perpetuating the cycles where kind of leading into what are the changes that I had to make. For me, it was realizing that a lot of these issues were all coming down from the way that I was managing my nutrition and the way that I was managing my stress, the way that I was managing my exercise, that was all contributing to the other issues that I was experiencing. And so instead of trying to find a bespoke solution that would be like the silver bullet that would fix all of your hormones, it was more so about actually trying to piece apart where I could make improvements and going back to the foundational elements to what really, really mattered when it came to my nutrition and my fitness. And so an example of this and a tangible one would be, and I think that the other thing that I will point out is that, especially for women who are really, really busy, I think that that is, because there are sort of two different cases where somebody might end up underfueling. And one could be that they're intentionally trying to restrict what they're eating because they think it's the right thing, or because they're trying to work towards a certain aesthetic, or because they don't believe that they could be eating more than what they're having. And then there's the other side of it, which is somebody who's really busy and they're truly just not thinking about it. And they're maybe not realizing how that those maybe unintended decisions could be showing up as consequences in other areas of their life. And so in both cases, it's both really, really important to kind of go back to the foundations and go back to like really the roots of, are we getting the basics right? And it's not going to sound like anything crazy, but it's things like, you know, are you thinking about balancing your blood sugar? Are you thinking about eating regularly enough that there's not going to be some sort of confusion to your metabolism about whether or not it's going to get something that it needs? And you're also on the energy availability so that you're not falling into these chronic deficits that are contributing to this, your body's perception that it's in this more like stressful survival mode for, you know, when we talk about chronic stress, it's like these sustained, prolonged periods of elevated cortisol. So I think that cortisol can get like a bad rep in current days. And of course, like there are really good use cases for it. It helps us, you know, for example, when we're intentionally inducing cortisol every time we work out, every time we wake up in the morning, our cortisol is naturally meant to spike a little bit. So it's not to say that every incidence of cortisol is bad and we should avoid
it. Right.
But especially for this busy, high achieving woman that may also be, you know, really trying to think a lot about their, you know, diet or not eating as frequently or as intentionally as they could be, or are exercising and really trying to squeeze in these high intensity exercises because they don't have that much time every single day in order to get the most out of that session that they have before they go into whatever it is, a 10-hour workday. And that was really relatable for me. But going back to the basics, balancing your blood sugar, thinking about how we can manage fueling around workouts so that we're not causing unnecessary energy deficiencies that would be really stressful for our body, and actually be more helpful to our fitness. And how are we thinking about how we're managing stress, how we're thinking about the morning, especially, and navigating in that way that we're not falling into these like chronic states of burnout and stress and causing our body to believe that it needs to be in survival mode. Because essentially what I realized was those underlying patterns were causing my body to be in a state where what our body necessarily is going to do when it feels like it's in that really stressful state or it's in survival mode. And especially if you are, you know, overtraining and or underfueling, then what can happen is it's actually going to redirect energy towards core bodily functions and not towards and away from anything that it views as secondary. And that is something like reproduction. And so that essentially was what I was experiencing, which is that it was redirecting energy away from my hormonal health because it was saying, okay, we're in survival mode. Let's just keep the lights on.
Wow. Okay. So do you have like tips or a plan or something like that for people who are experiencing all these hormonal changes? Like, okay, so there's been so many, now that I told you that, you know, I'm perimenopausal and stuff like that, I'm trying to figure out like what all this means. I've been seeing like different things like, you know, eating certain ways can help you with your hormonal levels. And then I see another thing saying, oh, just take these different creams or shots or whatever. And then, you know, it's like, oh my God. So I want to make the right decision for me, right? Because I have all these autoimmune conditions and I'm trying to get healthier and I have about 80 pounds or so that I want to lose, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't know what direction to go into because I'll go to the doctor and they'll be like, oh, if you go on these the testosterone, progesterone, estrogen, all that, you're going to feel better and it's going to help you lose weight, blah, blah, blah. And then this person's like, no, you just need to eat these certain foods that'll help you maintain it. Girl, help a sister out, Allison, right? Like, what the heck? So tell us about that. And also, you know, I know diet is a big piece of what we like. They always say like 90% of what you put in your mouth is what matters, right? So I'm just wondering, Do you like prescribe or have a certain type of diet that you feel works best? Or do you feel like each body's different? Like you could do keto, you could do this one, you could do that one, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. This is a really interesting question and case study. So for the first one, I think that menopause is definitely a very specific specific time where there's going to be some level of individualization in terms of what's going to work best.
Yeah.
And there are shifts. So meaning that what would work for a woman who is going through that menopause transition is probably from like a nutrition standpoint is probably going to be different than somebody who's a, you know, a teenage, super active triathlete woman who's in the earlier stages of her periods and her menstrual cycles. And so I think there is kind of a yes and here where in some cases there are valid reasons why getting some sort of like hormone supplementation during that phase can be really helpful and seen really effective. And also I think that on top of that, in either way, getting still those like foundational components of your nutrition and what will work for you is still key to address and see. And sometimes I like to say, like, once we have that foundation in place, then we can always put in other areas to see what's left over. Mm-hmm. Menopause is definitely a unique instance where you are there are absolutely hormonal shifts that are occurring and people can respond to that in different ways. And so I definitely don't want to like give any like specific advice. So that kind of leads to the second part of the answer to your question, which is, I do believe that there is a level of individualism in terms of what people will need based on their lifestyle, based on their goals, based on where they're at, based on where they're coming from, for sure. And with that said, what I think is really interesting is that some of the foundational principles are still quite universal when it comes to women. And I think that that is something that is really kind of empowering to give a starting point. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes what I'm doing with clients is that coming in and seeing, okay, where are we? And the thing that's, you know, can be really hard to see is how frequently, I think because of some of the diet culture recommendations, and fasting is actually the perfect example, where women are falling into these patterns that might not be in their own best interest towards their own goals.
Right. Right.
And they're doing it because they really truly believe it's the right thing, or because they've seen that, you know, from diet culture that this is what's supposed to work. Maybe I'm trying to achieve weight loss, or I'm equating weight loss with just health in general. And I saw that, you know, fasting was going to be great for that goal. And so I'm going to do that too. And that's actually an example where women are not, like, a lot of the studies done on, actually all the studies done on fasting were done on men. And they weren't inclusive of women, and women can be more sensitive to those types of energy deficiencies that would be caused by fasting. Mm. And in many cases, women are fasting, not realizing that, oh, okay, well, we're fasting, you know, into the morning, which can be causing some of those bigger, you know, energy deficiencies that are really exacerbating that survival mode state that we can get into that I was sort of alluding to earlier. But also, it can lead to these instances where once we are eating, then we can feel less in control around food.
So that can, true.
Yeah. Lead to like that cycle that can feel really hard to get off of. And so that's like one example where, you know, that's a foundational element that we can start to introduce, but it can also lead to other interesting conversations for people mm-hmm. about what was your intention with that? Or is it super easy to make that change, or is it harder to make that change? And if it's harder, what resistance was brought up? And so that's a lot of part of the program as well, which is like, we're doing that assessment. We're looking pretty objectively at what somebody's doing when they come in and starting to identify areas where we can make some of these changes. And then through some of those changes, we start to uncover what's beneath the surface, and we can talk about those in parallel. And then because we're truly partners, and this is why, you know, the company is called Ally, mm-hmm. is that we truly are partners in really empowering women to be able to understand what is going to work for them, so that we can get to the point where we have those foundation elements, and how can we start to add in some of those more individualized components based on what you're experiencing, what your goals are, what's working for you, what isn't working for you. And maybe like a small but relevant example here could be, let's say that we are seeing somebody who was fasted. This is the woman who's super busy. She's waking up at 6 a.m. She's going for a workout, and maybe she's going to a workout class, or she's riding her Peloton first thing in the morning, 6 a.m., wakes up, goes straight into the exercise, and then quickly comes back, changes, showers, goes to work, and then maybe grabs a quick breakfast when she's in the office, and then starts her day, and she's working at a pretty high stress, high pressure job for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. Then one change that we might implement as a start is, all right, let's just try to see if we were to introduce a pre-workout snack before you go for that workout, how that might shift things in terms of energy levels for the rest of the day. That will actually start to eventually, in the longer term, if there are hormonal issues that we are suspecting, that could be improving the hormonal profile, because just getting a little bit in that beginning phase has shown to mitigate some of the unnecessarily high cortisol spikes that would be incurring because you're going straight into that workout in the morning. And it can also improve your recovery and energy levels during that actual session. Now, the individualized component could then go into, well, the way that our bodies respond to what we're eating in that very early morning, once we go into that workout, I see a fair amount of nuance in terms of what works for some people, what doesn't work for some people. And so then that's where we can add in that partnership about, well, what is going to work? Does it, can we try some different things? Can we try some different times? Can we try some prep for different things? And how do we experiment within that to find something that is empowering you with the information to be able to make the assessment about how to determine if that was something that worked for you, mm-hmm. and to be able to feel more confident that you have some sort of foundation that you can fall back on, that we've established, okay, we've tried this thing and this is something that works. And even though you're really busy and the rest of the day, you're not even focusing on this one element, we're bringing this to the surface. We're partnering with you to figure out what's going to work. And we're also going to help you implement strategies if relevant, or at least just have a space to hold to talk through whatever else is coming up when we start thinking about making those changes, whether it's how are you defining what hunger looks like, all the way through to, okay, well, what is your standard in terms of what discipline looks like, or what will, how this is going to influence your body, or how this is going to influence your body composition. And so those are all kind of like the underlying things that tend to come up that make that when we address those, make making these changes easier to navigate than if we were to just throw that at someone and then kind of let it go and not really acknowledge that there are other things and other components that can, not always, but can and definitely often do come up when we start to explore some of those elements.
I love that though. I love that Ally seems to be a really holistic view of things, right? Because what you're doing is empowering them to also just live, you know, have these tools so that they can live the rest of their life that way as well, right? Instead of like, you know, just go to the gym and get a contract for somebody to work out with you. And sometimes, you know, that like I had a personal trainer and he was great, but he didn't get into the nitty gritties with me. Like, why do I feel this way? And how, you know, what do I do in the mornings? Like, he didn't do that. It was more like, here's the workout. This is what we're going to do today, et cetera. And what I like, Allison, is that what you're explaining to us about Ally is that you are really their ally. You're like with them through this process and giving them the tools that they need. So, you know, I know that we are at time, but I do want people that are listening, because you left so much information here. Like, I know that, you know, what you're showing us is that you don't have to do this alone. First of all, there's mindset shifts and life shifts you can make to actually help your hormone balance and your, and the mindset and your work life, you know, and don't be like me, like Nina, who worked professionally for so long with such high stress levels. You know, I didn't even know, Allison, that I was living in a high chronic stress level. I had no idea. I just lived my life. And it wasn't until I crashed and I realized, oh my gosh, she has Sjogren's. She has maybe some markers of lupus and markers of this and markers of that. I'm like, holy crap, what did I do to myself? And it's because you're not thinking, like you said, you know, you get up in the morning, you go to work out, you go to work, you blah, blah, blah. And then, the office bought donuts or the office bought blah, blah, blah. And then there you are, you know, trying to fuel yourself because you are so exhausted because you haven't thought the process through. Mm-hmm. And so for those who are listening, I really want them to know how they can contact you, talk to you more about this, and, you know, hopefully see if you're a good fit and whatever have you. But I think it's time for us to get healthier and better. And we're getting into a new year, you know, let's do this right. You know, let's just do this right. So Allison, how do people reach you, talk to you, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So if you're interested in working with me or learning a little bit more about some of the programs that we offer, then you can go to theallymethod.com. There are some free resources there. And if you apply, then we are opening up a cohort for January. And so we're taking applications now, and you can get a free discovery call if you apply. So that would be my number one recommendation if that's something that is interesting to you. But if you're interested in connecting, or you just want to have any questions, or you'd like to share your story, then I always love to hear from folks. And I'm primarily on Instagram, and I'm at Allison Yamamoto, my name. And I always love to get into DMs with people and just chat. And so I'm very much like someone who likes to connect with people.
Good, good. Thank you so much for being here today, Allison, and dropping so much wisdom and so many great tools. And I really appreciate that, because I really appreciate when an expert like yourself comes on and it's not, you know, about me, but it's about the person listening. And you left so much stuff on here. And I know that because I have so many conversations with so many women, I know this is a real problem and a real hard thing to navigate, especially when you don't have the right tools or the right person helping you navigate that, right? So thank you for being here and really giving all this value to my audience. I appreciate you. Thank you
so much for having me tonight. I appreciate the questions too.
Thank you. Guys, see, I told you, right? Good human. This is what we do. So I'm going to make sure to link all of her information below me. I really want you to connect with Allison. I really want you to see what kind of programs they offer. And I really want you to be healthy and well. And, you know, you just need the right ally. I love the name of the company, but you just need the right ally. You really do. Because like I said, even with me and my journey, I'm getting so much information from so many different avenues, and you start to become a little discouraged and go, maybe I just don't know what to do. I throw my hands up in the air and I really don't know what to do at times. But I love that Allison said, let's tailor this to you and who you are and what you have and what your lifestyle is, so that you can actually make it sustainable, right? So you can actually do it. So thank you guys for hanging out with me. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, and share this with anybody you think needs this information, because I know that a lot of you who listen are freaking awesome. And I know that a lot of you who've listened have worked with people that have been on the show. So I appreciate that too, because I bring these experts on here for a reason, and it is to impact your life. And it's good for me to hear how you worked with this person because they spoke to you on this podcast. So thank you guys for hanging out with me and Allison today. I really appreciate you. Make sure you do what I said. Until next time.